Love. Some would say it took a backseat when the pandemic forced us apart. As a family-run and proudly Canadian-owned company, Charm Diamond Centers saw the need to bring us together with tales of love and created the Canadian Love Map podcast. Since then, we've shared hundreds of real, uplifting stories that prove love conquers all. So thank you for listening. We couldn't do it without you. And remember, love starts here. What the world needs now is love. More love.
Stars literally aligned.
He's always been the one.
There's someone out there for everyone.
I'm Nancy Regan, your host on the Canadian Love Map. We are on a journey to uncover and share love stories of all kinds.
He's never forgotten to bring me flowers.
We're hoping we're going to give a little good news to this world.
Even in these dark times, the life continues to go on.
It's all about compassion, devotion, adventure, and of course, love.
Everybody needs somebody. Everybody needs love.
This is the Canadian Love Map.
Well, love is the most important thing.
I turn around and then I wipe my tears, and all of a sudden I grew up in that moment at the airport. I remember when I went on and I boarded my flight, I sat on the plane alone, and I remember thinking, I was like, okay, well, this is it now. And in tiny Anakin-ish, I got there and I was like, okay, the introvertedness is not going to work. I need to come out of my shell, because Saint of Facts, and I think life in general, is what you make it.
Today's love story belongs to Awele Oye Onwuka. A lot of young people have trepidation about leaving home for the first time, often to go away to college. It's often a major leap out of the comfortable nest of the family home. Now imagine making that leap and flying halfway around the world to land in a new university, in a new town, in a new province, in a new country. Awele did just that when she reluctantly left her home in the very busy city of Lagos, Nigeria, for small town Nova Scotia. But now her experience at St. Francis Xavier has happily morphed into a love story. This is the Canadian Love Map. Awele.
Hi, Nancy.
I'm so happy to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm going to get so nosy about your life.
I'm really interested to see what you're going to ask me.
Are you ready for that?
I'm ready.
Yeah? Okay. Well, I'm so appreciative to have you here, and I want to share your story because it's such a good one.
Thank you.
How do you like Canada so far?
I love it. I love it, particularly Nova Scotia. There's something about the Maritimes and the warmth, and the people are so friendly and so kind here. So I have only the best things to say about Nova Scotia and Canada in general.
How should we start with how you came to be in Canada, or do you want to go back further first and talk about growing up in Nigeria?
We could talk about growing up in Nigeria.
Yeah. Okay, tell me about Awele. Tell me your life story.
Okay, so I have an older sister, so it's just two kids. And my mom and dad, we grew up super close. And when I think back to my childhood, every memory is just riding my bike outside with my friends and neighbors, just being with my mom and dad and my sister, dropping us off at school, picking us up. I had dogs as well. I had dogs growing up, so lots of dogs running around and just lots of family time. Like, I spent a lot of time with my family growing up.
Where were you living?
Lagos, Nigeria.
And tell me about, set the scene for us. What was that like? How big? How small?
I grew up in an estate. So I'm picturing my childhood home. It was my house here, my neighbor across, they had kids my age. So we would play together. And then the neighbor on the other side, and then an empty house that we would often try to go explore and see. We couldn't get inside, but we would go look through the window and make up games on what could be inside the house. Mm-hmm. And we had some grass, like a grass area by the side of the four houses. And we'd ride our bikes. So it's a lot of, I have so many scars actually from falling off of my bike. But a lot of riding my bike around the estate. So the roundabout, try not to get hit by a car either, and like being safe. The pool as well, like going swimming with my friends, now I'm thinking back and seeing it, like, all the memories are flooding in. Dogs as well, lots of dogs running around.
Was it a city or a town?
So it was a city, in Lagos City. So, but we grew, it was a quiet estate, like tucked away. Mm-hmm. And then when you drive out of, because you go into like the noisy and the noisy areas, busy, lots of traffic. Lots of traffic.
She's looking at traffic.
I think there's a lot of traffic.
That look I just got from you was like, you don't know traffic.
Oh, no,
in Nova Scotia.
When I came here and people were like, yeah, there's a lot of traffic. I'm like, where's the traffic? Like, you don't know traffic. I'm talking about like hours in sitting in traffic. And that was another thing. So coming from school, you'd be sitting in traffic on your way home. But I'd listen to music in the car. My sister would be there. My mom would be there. And then there'd be like music playing as well in the car. But I always liked listening to my music. So I'd like have my my headphones in. But yeah, just a lot of family time, lots of time spent around friends and great people.
What were you like as a child?
Stubborn.
Oh, I like that. I'm leaning in to hear more.
Really, really stubborn. My mom has this book and I found it recently. I can't remember the exact title, but it was, I think, something to do with a strong-willed child. And she showed me and she's like, I got this book because of you. And I took a photo and I have it on my phone. But I was, it was funny because I was like, oh, but I remember being very set and like in my ways. And if I wanted something, I had to have it. My mom, when we'd go to the grocery store, she'd be like, oh my, because the grocery store had like a toy section as well. So I'd be like, I want that doll. And my mom's like, well, no, you can't have that doll. And I'm like, I want that doll. And I'd like stand there and I'm like, and then my mom like, no, you cannot have that. My mom was very, and my parents, very, they made sure that, you know, you couldn't get your way all the time, which was really great. Like moving, being an adult now, I see the value in that. But they were like, just because you want it doesn't mean you can have it. But I was also pushing back. I was like, no, I want it. So I'd like have a meltdown in the middle of the store. But that could also, it was a double-edged sword because it was really good because I didn't give in to peer pressure or anything. If I wanted something, I really wanted it and I had to have it. But I would say it was also, I was more introverted as a kid because I didn't have that many friends. My friends were my dogs. It was really funny. Growing up, I remember until I got a little older, maybe when I was 15, 16, start spending more time with people. But before, I just like to do my own thing and ride my bike and be with, you know, at home with dogs and just doing whatever I wanted to do.
So when you were going through high school, were you already planning on flying the coop? And you know, actually studying internationally, when did that occur to you?
Yes, that was always, in middle school, I already decided I wanted to go to France, actually.
Really?
I thought I had the American University of Paris. I had already chosen. I said, I was going to study psychology at AUP. I followed all the accounts on Instagram. I did a lot of investigation on like students who went there, and I reached out to students who were already there, and I went to an American international school in Lagos, so I was like, okay, well, this is in line with what I'm doing right now or where I am right now, and that's what I wanted, and I thought that's what I wanted, but evidently I'm not in France.
Did you get on the wrong plane?
I did. I accidentally took a flight to Nova Scotia instead of Paris. No, so it's a long story, but I can make it short. My parents, when I wanted to go, I got my acceptance already and they sat me down and they said, okay, you know, well, why don't you look at Canada? And I said, well, no. I was like, no, that's not my plan. My plan is, I said, it's France. And they said, okay, well, you should have options. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I want to go to France. I was like, I'll stay in Europe. And they're like, okay, well, you know, you're an international student. You want to think about so many different factors of like, even after your study, you want to think about that. And I was like, no. And I still said no. And then they were like, okay. And then my dad, I remember he sat down with me and he was like, okay, well, you really do need to take a look at like another country. My sister was in the States and she was like, I'll go up if you go up. And I was like, you're not helping matters. Like, I don't want to go to Canada. Like, stop trying to convince me or stop trying to make. And I was like, I don't want to. And then they said, okay, well, you have to. So now they told me, they're like, you've got to. And so I was like, okay, if I'm going to look at Canada, I'm going to look at where I want to go. I was like, I'm going to choose where I want to go. And I Googled small universities in Canada and St. FX popped up. And it just so happened that my sister went to university with a girl whose brother went here. Mm-hmm. So she put me in contact with him and a bunch of her friends. To make a long story short, I'm here now and I'm at the end of my fourth year.
So how did it feel to be a teenager
and contemplating, I said flying the coop, but it is really like, you know, it's not just going down the road to university. You're going to a different continent, a different culture. I think it takes an enormous courage to do that. How did it feel from your perspective?
I haven't thought about that in a while. Well, now thinking back, it was a big step. I think one of, definitely the biggest step I've taken so far. But I remember before the pandemic hit, I was like, oh my God, it's getting closer. I told my mom, I was like, I don't know how I can do this. Like, I don't think I can. I'm, again, as someone who spent a lot of time with their family and hadn't left, like I would go on maybe a week away on a school trip, but that was the longest I'd ever been away from home. Wow. And I remember just, I was like, I don't think I can. Mm-hmm. I remember sitting there and I'm very grateful that I get to go abroad, but I was like, I don't think I can do this. And then the pandemic hit and I was like, okay, yeah. I was like, whoo. I was like, I get a year.
I don't have to go.
I was like, okay. Because we had to stay home. There was no travel. No visas were being issued at that point to international students. And I kind of was like, okay. Obviously, I'm not relieved that there was a pandemic. Of course not. But I was like, okay, I have some more time. So I was like, okay, I have about a year to sort of come to terms with the reality that I will be leaving. And so I took the year and I was just at home, kind of enjoying that year of online school. My first year was completely online. And it was a very unique experience because I don't even have one foot in the country, but I have all these people who are my classmates and I'm in group projects, but I'm so far away, haven't never met these people. Some of them never saw my face because it was online, but no one would turn their cameras on, right? Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, I know their voices, but I don't know these people. But when I think it was May, my birthday is in May. So my birthday hit and I had all my family, because a lot of family, when it's your birthday, they come over, and I had all my family come over and I look around and I start crying and I was like, Mom, in a few months, I won't have access to like all these people. And a lot of them were my friends and family. And I was just thinking, I can't, like, I just don't think I can do it. And the day came, went to the airport. I remember my mom and dad stayed with me for a while before I had to obviously cross and go over. But I remember turning back and looking at my parents, and I walked away and I was like, wow. And then all the crying. So I had been crying since May and I left in August. I remember I just go to my mom's room and my dad. And I'm like, yeah. I can't do this. I was like, I have to leave you. And I get a little emotional because it was a really heavy time. I was like, I can't. I just can't.
Even though your sister was going to meeting you.
Yeah.
It was still a bridge too far.
It was too far. She had experienced boarding school. She'd been in boarding school longer than I had. She'd gone to university already for, at that point, 4 years now. And she'd done that. And even though she was going to be there, she's like, okay, but this is my comfort zone. It was fine when she came back home to visit, but leaving my comfort zone was difficult. But I remember saying goodbye, and my mom has the photo of me like turning back for the last time, and then I turn around and then I wipe my tears, and all of a sudden I grew up in that moment at the airport. I remember when I went on and I boarded my flight, I sat on the plane alone, and I remember thinking, I was like, okay, well, this is it now. I remember what I'm wearing, I remember my seat, I was on the aisle, and I said, okay, well, this is it. And then I had the 2-week quarantine and I just kind of grew up from there.
So it was like in that moment, it went from being something that was a fearful endeavor to an adventure.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
Exactly. That's very much. And because of the pandemic, they had these, I can't remember where they are, but they were just like, you couldn't see further. So there were these barriers kind of set up in the airport. So once I passed that, I was like, I can't see. Even if you wanted to like cross and say hello, I was like, okay, now there's a physical barrier. So it was also a metaphor for the fact that I am on this individual journey. And so I was like, okay, well, might as well be comfortable and might as well like embrace the journey. And it was still scary, but I was like, okay, it's not so bad after all. Like when I crossed on my own, I was like, it's not so bad.
Mm-hmm. That's the beautiful thing about doing hard things, isn't it? That we do them and then we realize, oh yeah, I thought I couldn't and I did it. So it's like building a muscle for the next time.
Exactly.
So what was it like to arrive in Canada?
Ooh, I got here, I think, I think it was like 10 p.m., I think, but I know it was dark. Remember driving out, I'm like looking, and I have this memory because I had to do the mandatory quarantine at the West End, and I don't remember what street it was on, but I remember there was like a salsa class going on, and I was like, I want to be there, but I can't. So I was like, I'm driving by and I see people because it's summertime in Halifax, everyone's out and doing whatever, and I was just like, this looks like so much fun, but I'm stuck at the hotel for 2 weeks. I would see people from my window and hear people. And I'm like, I want to be where they are. I want to know what they're doing. I was 20.
You were 20. And to have that introduction.
Yep.
Oh my goodness. Yes. I can't even imagine.
No, it was an interesting 2 weeks for sure.
Okay, so you got through that quarantine. Congratulations,
yes,
first of all, because
thank you.
I think that deserves it. And then what?
And then it was my sister and a really good friend picked me up. They let her come and drop something off for me. So I was like, hi. And she had her mask. I had my mask too. But it was like, I was like, okay, well, family, someone that feels familiar. And it was just, okay, I was like, okay, this is not so bad after all. But then I had to go to Saint-Effect. So we had to make the drive to Anakinish. And so it was about a 2 hour or so drive. We drove down, drove up, got there. And then I was like, okay. And she was like, okay, we've got to go now. So we went into town for a little bit. She helped me set up my room, and I missed all the activities just because I was in quarantine. But she was like, okay, well, we've got to start heading back now. And I was like, I just started getting comfortable. Mm-hmm. And I just saw another, like a familiar face. And I cried again. And I was like, oh, because she's about 2 hours, it's 2 hours away. And I just remember feeling, okay, well, now I'm truly on my own. Because she's not, there's no buffer, there's no one there to sort of like cushion and be like, okay, I've got my sister. But no, I was like on my own. And I remember being like, okay, she went and then I cried a bit. She cried, we hugged and then she drove off. I was like, I have a video again of her driving off. Then I go into my room and I sit on my bed and I'm like, okay, well, now it starts. Now like the journey actually starts. There's no, I'm not in quarantine. There's no like in between phase. It's like, this is it. This is day one. And I go and I'm like, okay, I had a really great roommate and she was really kind. Her family also really, really kind and helped me on my journey of like settling into Canada and to like Anakinish as well, tiny Anakinish as well. They were really lovely and she was great. And but I just remember sitting there, I'm like, okay, what do I do? I'm like, what do I do now?
I sort of picture you wandering around campus listening for the voices that you recognized from your virtual meetings.
So some people, so when I got to class, I remember someone, she sat beside me and I was like, I know you. I was like, I don't think you know me, but I know you. And you recognize people's names. We had name cards and in the business school, we had name cards. And I was like, I know that name. I was like, hi. Like you wouldn't know me from anywhere, but like from class, I recognize your name and it's like saying hello and reintroducing myself to people.
Why did you choose business?
Ooh, I was in psychology in the first year. So online, I was in the arts and I had a feel of what it was like. And I was originally studying psychology to go into human resources. So when I got in and I was like, oh, this is not really what I expected. I was like, it's a great program. It's interesting, but this is not what I expected at all. And so I set up an appointment with the academic advising. They put me in contact with students who are in my program right now. And thankfully, I had the grades to get in. And I was like, okay, businesses, I need to switch. I was like, I think I did some research into the program. And again, I got to get the firsthand experience from the students. So I was like, okay, this is what I was looking for, actually. So I was like, I'm going to make a switch. And best decision I ever made.
Really?
Well, one of the best decisions I made. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the beauty of a first-year program anywhere, isn't it?
Yes.
That you get to get a sense of what the courses are like. And then often kids, I think, students change their ideas
yes.
about what they want to do. Why was it just right for you? Why was it the best decision?
I think it's so many in my personality. And then this is like, I know I've spoken about me as a child, but I had some time to grow up and learn lessons and come out of my shell and understand life more and understand myself more. So with that knowledge, knowing myself, I thrive in like areas where I can communicate with people, where business, there's so many group projects and so many avenues for collaboration. And I just know that is where I would thrive. So from my first day in class, I was like, okay, this feels right. And our business school, Saint-Effect's at large, is very welcoming. But again, if we're going by faculty, business is our professors. Oh my goodness, I cannot talk about how amazing my professors, all of them from my, even in the arts as well, but if we're speaking specifically about business, how amazing and how supportive they are and how much attention, where I'm a name. I'm not a student ID, so I'm not going through a TA, but I felt like I was seen at the business school. And then with my colleagues as well, doing group projects, learning, I've learned so much from a lot of my peers. And I was like, okay, we didn't even like, this is academics aside, just as a person, you get to share and you get to really know a lot of people. I'm just actually coming off, we're doing a consulting project right now, and I've spent over 100 and maybe 105 hours personally with my group members doing, wow, collaborating. So you get to know each other a lot. And a lot of it is like, maybe we should hang out after class. Maybe we get along and it's like, okay, I like you. And it's through a group project. So I just find that I've been able to find my feet there and find what I like to do and who I like, my personality as well, hone my skills, learn from people, learn from professors, learn from friends.
We couldn't share the great stories that we do here on the Canadian Love Map podcast without the amazing support of Charm Diamond Centres. They are Canada's largest family-owned jeweler, and they're proud to be putting love on the map. The folks at Charm Diamond Centres are thrilled to be a part of your love story. So visit charmdiamondcentres.com or one of your local stores. Love starts here. You told me when I met you in the fall, and this really made an impression, mm-hmm, on me, that you had been a very introverted child. And when you got to St. Evex, you felt what it was like and you had to make a decision. Tell me about that.
Yeah. When I got here, I was a little older. So in my residence, I was about 2 years older than I was 20. A lot of people coming in were 18. Not that that was going to be a problem. I just, that was a factor that I kept in the back of my head. But also in classrooms and in tiny Anakinish, I got there and I was like, okay, that's not going to work. The introvertedness is not going to work. I need to come out of my shell because St. Evex, and I think life in general, is what you make it. You're given the resources, you have the academics, you have the social, but if you don't go for it, then you're not going to get anything out of it. So I remember, when I switched to business, I was like, I've got to get all my academics, which is obviously the reason why we're at university, but I remember always just studying. I was in my room, I was studying, I wasn't doing anything else. I wasn't meeting people outside of the classroom. And I started to notice, I was like, okay, I'm not getting as much out of the university experience. I was like, I know there's more. I know that I've seen it on like societies, on social media pages. I was like, I know there's more and I know there's an avenue to, I was like, I know there's a way.
And it's also a school that is sort of renowned for its spirit and,
yes,
friendliness.
Exactly. And then with that, and because I missed the orientation, orientation process, I was like, okay, well, even then I've got to make an extra effort. And I remember thinking, did I make the wrong choice? And so over Christmas, I come back for the break and I'm with my sister and a really good friend. And I was like, I don't know if I made the right choice. And they're like, what do you mean? Like, what do you mean? Like, everyone's kind of on edge now. Like, is she okay? Like, is she going to like it? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I'm not finding myself like out there socializing. I'm not getting everything. And so they were like, okay, don't make any like hasty decisions yet. Like, sort of get a feel for it. And I'll never forget this conversation. So I went out with my sister. So she was at the MBA at Dalhousie. And there are a bunch of St. Evex grads who were also in the program. And I saw their X-rings in the bathroom. And so I was like, oh my God, like, you've got an X-ring. I go to St. Evex. And they're like, oh, what are you doing now? I'm talking to me. And I met this other girl in the group. She didn't have an X-ring. And she said, oh, you know, I transferred. I didn't finish from St. Evex. And I was like, oh, like, do you mind me asking why? And she was like, oh, you know, I just thought like I wanted to switch. And she's like, but I regret my decision. And I was like, oh, okay. And she was like, I'm kind of in the similar headspace as you would have been. Like, can you speak to me more? And then, so she pulled me aside and she was very gracious with her time. And she said, I left too soon. She's like, I didn't stay and I regret that. All my friends got their rings. I went back for the ceremony. I went back often just to go like see friends and I was missing out on a lot. And she was like, if I'm going to give you one piece of advice, I would tell you to stay. I remember that. She was like, I would tell you to stay. And I said, oh, Like, you were the, because I was looking for a sign and that was it. And she didn't have to like pull me aside. And because we were at, she was at a busy restaurant and she just happened to find me in the bathroom. And she said I would stay. And I said, okay, I'm going to stay. And so I told my sister, I was like, okay, calm down. Nothing's happening. I'm going to stay. I go back and I was like, you know what? I got a job with Campus Tours. I joined the societies and I got a job as a CA. And it was just boom, boom, boom from there. It was the best experiences. So,
it's like you jumped in the deep end, got really involved.
Yes, yes. It was an instant. It was a Christmas. So I go back in January and I get the job with Campus Tours in February. And it was more so like, okay, boom. Set the trajectory over the rest of my, what would have been like 2.5 years.
Campus Tours, especially for any university, that's an interesting way to meet people. And also you've got to be outgoing and you've got to let your personality help sell the experience for people. Do you love it?
Love. Love, 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 love. So there are students who I was their CA that I took on a tour.
A CA is?
Community advisor. So like an RA, residence advisor. Okay. We call them community advisors at St. FX. And there are students who I was their tour guide and I see them at meal hall. I see them in my residence. I've been in classes with students who I've been on a tour with. And there's this rewarding feeling of, I don't even call it war. It's not work to me. It's I'm going in and I'm just telling people about St. FX. I'm telling people about my experience. And it's the easiest job in the world because I am telling you what the reality of it is at St. FX. And I always tell students, St. FX attracts a certain type of student. Those who are meant to be here at St. FX, they stay there. And then people who don't fit with at St. FX, they leave. And that's perfectly okay because you want to be where you're supposed to be. And every person that I've spoken to on their journey in my year and everyone who, again, I took on a tour, they've said, yes, it's an experience. And I was talking with another girl who's in her first year and she's a tour guide as well. And she was like, it just is meant to be. You're just in this bubble. And we call it a dome. When we drive out, we're like, we're in this dome. And it's just a place where people get together and you sense of community. If it's at a sports game or it's at in classrooms or group projects, you just all really like each other. And we have nowhere else to go. We're not spread out. We're in this really tiny town. So outside of the classroom, you're saying hello. You're walking to class. You're saying hello to someone. You're seeing a familiar face. And it feels really special. It's special is like the one word I can use to describe St. FX.
How do you think it's changed you, or has it?
For sure, for sure. If I look back to who I was when I just got here and who I am now, it's made me appreciate people more and a sense of community and just really value community and people and collaboration and impact. There's so many ways to feel like you've made a difference on campus. And if that's through being a tour guide or being on a society or being a CA as well. And you're like, okay, well, I can make a difference in my tiny community. And you have people who are championing you and like who are behind you and they want you to succeed. I look at my professors and I'm like, wow, like you care about me. Like it's more than, you're not just doing this because it's your job. You like outside of their office hours, they're like, okay, how are you doing as a student? How are you doing as a person as well? And so it's, the academics, it's the social, but it's also your personal, your emotional, your mental health as well. It's just so many things.
Okay, so this is similar to the conversation we had standing in the coffee shop after we saw you on the business panel in the fall. And you were generous enough to stand and talk with us for 30 minutes. And the girls, the teenagers, were all looking at you like, just first of all, I'm sure were taken by your beauty, but your dynamism and your personality. Thank you. And they were just mesmerized.
Thank you.
And I said to you at the time, as you'll remember, you should be an ambassador for this school. Like, you are amazing. And now, kind of full circle, I want to tell a quick story that we've become friends since. And when I saw, maybe about a month ago, I saw that there was an article about you in the Zavarian magazine that alumni get. And I thought, oh, isn't that great? I was so excited to read it. I texted you. But then I took a picture of it and I posted it on social media, including
on
LinkedIn.
Yes, lovely.
And I said, if anyone's looking, she's in fourth year business. If anyone I know is looking for a you know, rock star hire. She is it. So just get in touch and I'll connect you. Anyway, so we had been talking about that. I have four people who wanted to meet you and potentially interview you. But then I got a call the other day, and that's what triggered this conversation. Tell me what you told me then.
I said, Nancy, I got a job as a student recruitment officer and I'm going to take it. And yeah.
So you're going to be doing exactly, you're going to be an ambassador for St. of X.
I feel, I want to say you manifested that too, because I didn't think as a tour guide, it's something that you think about when you're in that position. But I didn't think that's what I was going to do. I thought I was going to move to Halifax. We had already said that. I was like, I'm going to move to Halifax. Anyone who asked me, I was like, I don't know yet. I'm in business. I was like, the next route is go corporate, right? I was like, okay, it's corporate. I'm going to move to Halifax. And so I applied to the job on the last day because I thought, you know, I was like, why not? And then I didn't know. I was like, I don't know. I really don't know what's going to come out of it. And it worked out. And I go back to what you said and I thought, wow, Nancy, your powers like really worked in that. Because I was like, I did not see myself doing that. But I think right now, like when I think about everything, I think this is where I'm supposed to be. I mean, I haven't started the role officially yet, but I think this is where I'm supposed to be. And it's funny because in January, when I was going back to school, I thought, I'm leaving. In a few months, I'm leaving. And I thought, do I come back for a fifth year? I was like, I don't think I'm ready.
I'm not ready to leave. Isn't that funny? You weren't ready to come to Canada and now you're not ready
exactly.
to leave.
I said, I'm not ready. And St. of X is so comfortable in the best way. So it's not, I don't feel like it's comfortable, but stagnant. It's comfortable, but you're growing and it's a safe and secure environment where everything just falls into place there with people, with your academics. And I was like, okay, well, maybe I have to come back and do another like degree or what. I don't think I'm ready for the real world, like the outside of our dome. And so being a student recruitment officer, knowing that I'm coming back, I'm like, okay, well, I did say I wasn't ready to leave. So, I mean, it works out in that way.
But it's legit because it's also a great job. Yes. Tell me what you'll be doing.
So I'm going to be traveling around. I don't know what my market is yet, but just basically telling people why St. of X is the best university and just sort of selling that experience and going around to different schools around Canada, hopefully around the world sometime soon. But just selling my experience, going, giving more information about our programs and just again, connecting with, I think it'll be, again, as haven't done it yet, but I think it'll be just like organically connecting with the students who are meant to be here. And I hope to be that bridge, bridging that gap between, you know, from high school to university and being a familiar face in the process of like applying, deciding what program, what residence, and just being like, hey, if you need anything, please reach out to me.
You will be a bridge, but you'll also be a magnet. I know it. You will just magnetize people. They'll be drawn. And I want to share with you that when I was graduating from St. of X, I applied for that job and I did not get it. But it was a 2-year position, and every second year they would hire a male, and every other second year they would hire a female. And it was actually the year that they were supposed to be hiring a male, but I went in and applied and argued that it should not be hired according to gender. Yep. And Brian McDonald was the person hiring, or not hiring in my case. And I had a great interview and I thought, oh, this is awesome. My boyfriend at the time was still going to be there the next year. And like you, I wasn't ready to leave yet. And I remember getting the letter at home in Halifax that said, I'm sorry you didn't get the job. But he said, in the letter, he said, I really think that this idea you have of going into TV is a terrific idea. It's perfect. I want you to follow that path and don't let this job get in the way of that. And I, as a 19, 20-year-old, 21-year-old, I guess at that point, I remember feeling annoyed because I thought, oh, as if I'm just going to, you know, wander into television. I need jobs to start. Yeah. And he knew something I didn't, obviously, like you say, you know, maybe someone knows something else. Within a month, I was interning at the biggest TV station east of Montreal.
Wow.
Within 2 months, I was on the air as a summer reporter. And within 4 months, I was co-hosting this huge show. So somehow he knew.
He knew and he saw it. And he saw it and you didn't see it yet. Yeah. And it's funny. And I love that you shared that because it also reminds me of the fact that sometimes we place the limits on ourselves. And maybe I don't know what it is, if it's fear or not necessarily mm-hmm. not like not knowing what the next steps are. But it was with Canada as well. My parents like putting their foot down and like telling me, and it's like my parents, they're very like, they've been very like amazing in the sense that they'd always let my sister and I go wherever and do whatever. But I was like, why are you putting your foot down for this particular reason? And I didn't know that it was bringing me to like sitting in this chair right now, having this conversation. Would have never been a thing if I went to France. I mean, I don't know what I would have been doing. Hopefully something great. But I just think about how sometimes we're set on this path and then there are detours, but it's never like delay is not denial. I keep seeing quotes about yes. that, and your path is like set for you and you don't know, not that it's set for you, like it's set in stone, but there's so many opportunities that we're not privy to, and it takes like a rejection and you think it's the end of the world, but it's because I've been like, oh my God, that rejection, like, whoa. But then it sets you off on another path, and a path that you didn't even think would be great for you.
Right. And decades later, you can look back and go, wow, am I ever glad I got that mm-hmm. rejection that felt terrible yeah. in the moment?
Yes.
So where is your path forward going? Imagine for me, where would you love your path to take you?
I love that question. I used to have a set answer, but then life always happens and I'm like, okay, I don't know. There are no absolutes. After this position, so being done with school, I want to travel. I want to see the world, help people. Just help people, communicate with people, work with people still in whatever capacity. So again, I try not to have an absolute say, like, I want to be here for sure. But no, just going around the world, being with my family as well. And I really love Halifax. So be here for a little bit, but like see more of the world as well. And just being happy, whatever that looks like.
Oh, that's beautiful. I want to talk about what you said, helping people. You want to help people. And I know there's something that your dad or your parents said to you
yes.
about helping.
Yes.
Can you tell us that?
Yes. It was service. How can you be of service? So that was the question my dad would always ask. It's like, okay, what do you want to do? But how can you be of service? So it was always the leading question. And it's funny because my sister and I had a conversation recently. And she's like, remember what dad would say about like, how can you be of service? And so thinking about what we're meant to do in this world and contribute is service. And I think it's the most rewarding. Every time I've helped, like, again, in any capacity, but every time, if it's on a tour, if it's having a 30-minute conversation, which honestly didn't even, to me, I was like, I'm glad, like, you want to hear from me, like, I'll talk as much as you want. But it's just, how can I help people? And whatever they're going through, it could be university, it could be a personal issue, or whatever anyone needs from me, I'm like, if I can help, and I'm learning that from you, Nancy, it's like, if you're in a position to offer anyone anything, it's like, why wouldn't you, right?
We had a beautiful moment of connection when I saw you a few weeks ago in Antigonition. I was going to be helping you get some interviews. And we sat down mm-hmm. to have a meal together. And you said, I can't believe you're doing this for me. And I said, every day I say, how may I be of service? Mm-hmm. And you looked at me and it was so funny. You looked like I had reached over and pushed you or something. You said that. That's what my father always says. And so we had a big laugh. But I think a lot of people approach life that way, and a lot more should.
Yes.
And how can we be of service? So I love that you are lighting up every room you walk into in Canada.
Thank you, Nancy.
And I want to perhaps end by offering you the chance to say hello to your parents in Nigeria and tell them what they have given you that has made you who you are today.
Mom and Dad, thank you so, so much for all the sacrifices and all the love and care and support. And my parents have given me security and stability and the confidence to go out into the world and do whatever, because I have two amazing people who are rooting for my sister and I, but also just providing love and care. I think you can't go wrong when you're loved, and when you're like, no matter what, you're supported. And I owe everything to my mom and dad. So I just, all I can say is a big thank you. And hopefully I'm making you proud, and can't wait to make you even more proud in the future. So I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad. Thank you.
Have they visited you in Canada?
Yes, they have. Yes.
And when is the next time you'll go back to Nigeria?
Oh, I want to go this year. Christmas, hopefully, when I get a break from work. It was funny, yesterday I was watching videos about Nigeria. I was like, I want to go back. I want to go back and visit. So
what do you love and miss about it?
the food, the culture, the people. And Nigeria is such a unique country where it's, we obviously, you hear Nigeria, you might think about the negative things, but despite the tenacity of the people, despite whatever challenges Nigeria faces, people are so warm and so kind. The minute you step into our airport, it's, you have someone like, do you need help with your bags? Do you need help with this? But it's, everyone is just willing to extend a hand to the next person, and so warm. I just miss, of course, like the familiar routes, the road, the traffic too. I know it's controversial. I miss the traffic. I'm not going to lie. I miss the traffic. But it's when you sit in the traffic, you have those moments where you bond with your family. It's just, it'd be in the traffic when my mom, my dad, my sister and I are like just talking and chatting. But I just miss the familiarity. Of course, the food, the culture. It's loud, but in a really good way. There's always something happening. Someone's getting married. Someone's birthday on the weekend. And it's just, that's where my home is. That's where my heart will always be as well. So I miss that.
Well, I'm glad, selfishly, that you have brought the spirit of Nigeria to Nova Scotia and to Canada. And to the Canadian Love Map. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Awele.
Thank you, Nancy.
Thanks so much for listening to the Canadian Love Map. This podcast is presented and made possible by Charm Diamond Centers. It's hosted by me, Nancy Regan, and is produced and distributed by Podstarter. We love sharing love stories of all kinds, and that could include yours. So do you or someone you know have an uplifting tale to tell? Reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram using @CanadianLoveMap or email producer@podstarter.io. We'll be back next week with another love story to add to the map.